Welcome everyone to a new episode of the Transcript Podcast. We are back for 2024. Apologies for the delay in podcasts, but we've got earnings season off to a roaring start already. And this week we sent out a new newsletter that captured some of those earnings call insights. The macro section this week, we found that the economy is still pretty strong, which is what we've seen throughout this earnings season. Consumer spending has been resilient, to use a word that's been used over and over again in earnings calls. And it looks like the soft landing may have happened, honestly. What do you think, Eric?
Yeah, I think that's a key takeaway. It feels like everyone feels like the plane landed without any mishaps. So I think it didn't do a Boeing. So I think it feels like it's okay so far. There's nothing that is standing out, at least as of the beginning of the year, that makes us think there's anything that's gone wrong.
Do you think we've had a soft landing or not?
That's really hard to tell, but I feel like we've landed softly so far. You can't tell what's going on far ahead, especially with elections going coming up. I think there was a quote there that said that around 4 billion people around the world are having elections this year. So that's a substantial kind of risk that is in the process. And of course, the issues to do with the Red Sea and all, they're always flaring up. Or some geopolitical tensions around the world, which seem to be a bit easing a bit. But I feel so far, looking at the data, look at the quotes, everybody's a little cautious, but seems like there's a general agreement that we are in a soft landing. That seems to be the consensus, at least from the first three weeks of reading earnings transcripts this year. Do you agree?
It definitely seems like a consensus. Inflation has certainly come down, although there's still some lingering amounts of inflation that we're seeing in calls in the insurance industry talking about it. Sherwin-Williams was talking about still having inflation, not necessarily in raw materials, but in labor costs and things like that. So there still are some areas of services inflation. But it doesn't seem like the type of inflation that the Fed will feel like it needs to actively fight. And so the interest rates are already in a somewhat restrictive position, as the Fed has talked about before. And so it'll be interesting to see as the Fed starts talking. They really have been pretty quiet for the last few weeks. But as they start talking again and understanding how their mindset is evolving around this data as well, is going to be the story of at least the quarter, if not the year.
I think they're meeting this week, so it would be interesting how they start the year. But my feeling is that it's another pause and nothing really has changed. I think it's been 7 months or so, the Fed pauses, so nothing much has happened. But maybe some things that stood out for me is that regards consumer spending, it seems to be, especially among the affluent, they're still doing well. LVMH had a record year, 2023. And American Express, they're growing, total billed business is growing at 9%. And then if you look at Visa, they're saying the US payments grew around 5% year over year last year. It doesn't feel like we're really in that recession, at least for the kind of consumers that Visa, American Express, and LVMH serve so far. So it doesn't feel like there's anything to be worried about in that end.
Yeah, honestly, the quotes from Visa and American Express in terms of volumes, that year-over-year payment volume at Visa is still at 8% growth. U.S. payments volume grew 5% year-over-year, is what they said. American Express showed a 9% growth in billed business on an FX-adjusted basis. Those are very, very large comps. So we may have even stronger growth than is really being recognized right now.
Yeah, the area of concern, though, has been China of late and the geopolitical tensions that they have with the U.S. If you look at some of the companies that were reporting, especially semiconductors, they're not factoring in large growth in terms of China because of the restrictions that have happened because of geopolitical issues. But then also that there is a bit of slowdown growth in China. There is an anti-corruption drive that is slowing down business over there. But perhaps maybe a transition to the other sections that we had. One of the quotes was from Elon Musk saying that, acknowledging that the auto companies, especially in China, they're very competitive. And the only way the US companies are going to survive is if there is restrictions in trade in that regard. That stood out for me as an acknowledgement of the forcefulness of the competition that is out there in EV markets and car companies generally.
Yeah, it's interesting because they are his strongest competition. And in the US, we're not seeing a lot of Chinese car companies. I don't know in Sweden if you're seeing Chinese car.
I was surprised. I was surprised at the airport. I did see a BYD, and I've never seen a BYD in my life.
Yeah.
So I think like they're forcefully entering the European market so far.
Yeah, Ford CEO has been talking about how they are now the largest exporter of vehicles in the world, which is incredible as well. So US markets may not be really recognizing how strong Chinese cars are as competitors from an EV standpoint. And so that is definitely something that could become appreciated, especially given that Elon's talking about it. Those are his competitors again.
Something else that stood out also from Elon Musk is about the investments in AI and how he wants a bit more share in the company because he is making it into a world beater in terms of AI. What's your take on that? 25%?
Yeah, it's really interesting, right? I think Tesla shareholders, is actually, because he says he doesn't care about the economics, he just wants the voting power. I almost think it's a good deal for Tesla shareholders to give him 25% voting rights. Like, just give him a share class that has extra voting rights. Most people who are invested in Tesla are invested in it for Elon Musk anyways. And if he basically says, okay, I'll take 25% control of the company, no change in economics, and in exchange, I'll build Tesla into an AI powerhouse, you have this very strong play on AI, which Tesla's, you know, what, $500 billion market cap now or less?
Yep.
Compared to Microsoft's $3 trillion market cap, it could be a really meaningful catalyst for Tesla.
So to keep him, give him his carrots and let him eat it.
Yeah. I think the other thing that was in the Tesla earnings call was about the AI, that he wants to build AI and think of Tesla as an AI and robotics company. It's not real. Obviously, Tesla is very premium priced compared to other automakers, but it seems to me that the price is mostly reflecting the auto business, not anything that's going on in AI or robotics at Tesla. So there is additional upside to Tesla's stock from that perspective. And yeah, several times on the call, Elon, in his Elon way, said, I used to not see a path to being the most valuable company in the world, but now I see a path to becoming the most valuable company in the world at Tesla. And if all of that gets resolved and Tesla starts trading like an AI company, it really could be a lot of potential value unlocked at the company for the stock, basically.
Yeah, and guess who's selling shovels to Tesla? Nvidia. I noticed that they that yeah. was a bit of a significant data point for me.
Yeah, Nvidia is selling to everybody, right? But Elon's comments on AI, Nvidia, he downplayed the ability of Dojo to be able to compete with the Nvidia chips was an interesting data point I noticed. And then also talking about a few billion dollars a year in spend as table stakes at this point in order to compete in AI is very interesting. The AI marketplace in general, you just need a lot of scale in order to compete. It's not like it's not a world for startups, really. It's actually very capital intensive.
Yeah, to build anything worthwhile right now raises the stakes in terms of who can compete in this kind of business. It means big tech will keep being the Magnificent Seven they are at this scale.
I think that's what people are betting. At the same time, I think we had in there a very negative data point for Apple, which was that Netflix isn't even planning on creating an app for Apple's Vision Pro. It seems like a bit of a slap in the face. I recognize that they are competitors of sorts because Apple is in the content generation business now. But it still seems like if it were truly a flagship product, a blue chip supplier like Netflix would be on the platform. So I think expectations are extremely low for this, for the Vision Pro.
Have you acquired it? Have you acquired one?
I have not. I haven't gotten a chance to play with one yet. Have you?
Not yet. I think it will come much later, I think, in the process. But I feel like the companies that are actually not creating apps for the Apple Vision Pro are mostly companies that have something, a bone to pick with Apple, like Spotify, Netflix. They don't, I feel like they are reaching a point where they're like, okay, you're becoming more of a gatekeeper for us, and they don't want to pay the 30%. So I think that's a bit of a hindrance for them. But it does feel like the uptake for Vision Pro may not be as huge as maybe expected of an Apple product normally in the scale of phone. Yeah. That's an interesting point. So maybe one more point I wanted to point out is how unhappy Boeing customers are And that some airlines are considering Airbus. That's quite a significant point to check out. They're telling Boeing to get their acts together. That's quite significant and strong language to see in earnings calls sometimes.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought it there because that really stood out to me as well. The language that Boeing's customers were using, to your point, was some of the strongest language I've seen of a customer in that institutional space condemning a supplier. We're going to hold them accountable. Boeing needs to get its act together, is what American Airlines said about it. And then the Ryanair comment from last week as well was like, this is totally unacceptable. And it is. And I think the headline today in the Wall Street Journal is that Boeing shipped that plane like without important bolts in the doors. And you add all that up, not only are they losing the confidence of their customers, their direct customers, the airlines, they're also losing the confidence of the airlines' customers, the flyers. And so from that standpoint, Airbus has an opportunity to take a lot of market share here. Who knows how Boeing really rehabs itself from here? It seems like CEO's got to go or something like that. There needs to be a change in leadership. There needs to be like some big cleansing at Boeing, it seems, in order to like really rebuild the confidence among their customers and the broad public. But at the same time, it's not like this is a hyper-competitive industry. You basically have a duopoly. So there's not really anywhere else to go. So from an investment standpoint, I look at this and go, there's a lot of negative sentiment on Boeing in some cases, but their fundamentals are extremely weak.
It's a big tech earnings week. Any quick top of the head things that you're looking out for? It's the week of, I think someone called it the Super Bowl of tech earnings season.
Apple, I'm very curious to see what's going on at Apple right now.
I saw a chart that said nothing is growing at Apple now, and that's a bit concerning. I don't know.
It's the big tech company that has very little presence in AI, and that's the biggest catalyst within the investment world right now. So,
and Microsoft has been growing so fast as to overtake them in terms of market cap and all. Microsoft reports this week also, so really interesting to see what they are doing. I don't like their Bing, by the way. New Bing, I tried it. I went back to Google. So I hope they're doing a little more dancing this week.
It is hard to get away from Google. They've got such a position. But it's interesting. You mentioned Microsoft at a $3 trillion market cap right now. It was a pretty good quote that you found this week about IT budgets. The world tech spending is expected to be $6.5 trillion by 2027. With $3 trillion spent on AI. So this may be the sorts of dollar numbers that people are putting into their models as they're thinking about what the value of these companies are. So
it's AI week, and let's see who mentions AI most. Like that's the cut, at least in earnings calls. Yeah, so I think that's a good place to close out this week. Thank you so much. We should do this more often, Scott. It's our first podcast for 2024, so looking forward to doing a bit more and covering the earnings season. Make sure to subscribe and to keep tuned in to the transcripts as we cover the earnings season. Bye for now.
Bye.